two parshiyos, Matos and Maaseh, conclude Chumash Bamidbar, which in a sense conclude the entire Torah, because the first four chumashim represent the full spectrum of what Hashem wanted to communicate to us. The fifth chumash, Chumash Dvarim, is referred to as Mishneh Torah, a review, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes back and reviews with Klal Yisrael what their experiences were from the time that he met them, and even before that. So this is major significance, this closing, this siyum on Chumash Bamidbar, which in a sense is a Siyum HaTorah. Parshas Matos begins with Moshe Rabbeinu addressing the leaders of Klal Yisrael, and he says to them, Zeh HaDovar, this is precisely what Hashem has commanded. And Rabbeinu Zal, in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal says, you'll note that when it comes to all the other prophets, whenever they delivered a message from Hashem, they use the word Koi Omar Hashem. Approximately, this is what Hashem said. Moshe Rabbeinu also, many times, when he delivered a message from Hashem, used the same wording, Koi Omar Hashem, approximately this is what Hashem said. But on a few occasions like this, we see Moshe Rabbeinu use the words, Zeh HaDovar, this is exactly what Hashem said. And the Sforim tell us that this shows us a very important yesoid in Yiddishkeit, a very important foundation in faith in Hashem and in the Torah, that all men are not equal, and all tzaddikim are not the same. Not everybody that has a beard and glasses is a big rabbi or a small rabbi or religious. Every single person is different. And even when we talk about the prophets, the great prophets, they're not the same at all. Major differences between them. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is called Rabban Shel Kol Hanaviim, the rabbi of all prophets, he was the only one who on certain occasions was able to use this wording, Zeh HaDovar, which the Zohar HaKadosh refers to as Aspaklaria HaMeira. When I say this, if I say approximately this, it means, I think this is what he said, I think this is what I heard. Whereas when a person says Zeh HaDovar, it means he achieved such a level of closeness to Hashem that he was able to use that kind of wording, Zeh HaDovar, precisely. And this is what set Moshe Rabbeinu apart from all the other tzaddikim. And he uses this wording to introduce the topic of neder. Neder means a vow. And Rav Nosson Zal tells us that this mitzvah of neder teaches us, again, a number of incredibly important concepts in Yiddishkeit. Number one, we know that a person who studies Torah observes and realizes that a lot of things in this world are connected to the Torah. Wine, for example. Wine is definitely a major player in the Torah. We know that, for example, Shabbos, we bring in Shabbos and holidays, at a bris milah, at a wedding, wine plays an important role in bringing a person close to Hashem, in opening a door to some of the holiest things in Judaism, Shabbos, Yontif, a wedding, a bris. And at the same time, wine can open a door to a stairway that leads down to the sub-basement. The worst sins, the greatest disconnect from Hashem, from Torah religion, can be brought about through wine. But you tell somebody, orange juice is in the Torah, they'll say you're nuts. I mean, with all due respect to Tropicana, and it might have vitamin C, it might have all kinds of, but it's not in the Torah, right? And the answer is wrong. See, this week's parasha shows us that besides all the items that appear in an obvious way in the Torah, such as wine, tzitzis, tefillin, sukkah, mikveh, all the different things, but everything that's not mentioned in the Torah in any obvious way is also included in the Torah in this mitzvah of neder, whereby Hashem has given a Jew the ability to emulate Hashem himself. We know when Hashem created the world, how did he create it? With speech. Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, with the word of Hashem, heaven was created. Uberuach piv kol tzivoam, Hashem says to the Jewish people, V'leimor litzioin amiator, I say to the Jewish people, you are my nation. And the Zohar HaKadosh says the word Ami, Ayin Mem Yud, is Ami, my nation. It's also Imi, you're with me, you're my partners. Just like I can create, you can create. Just like I made the Torah with my mouth, Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Aleikecha Voyelecha. A Jew says, this week I will not drink any orange juice, and suddenly he's added a 614th mitzvah to the Torah. Until the Jew made that statement, the orange juice was not included in Torah. You could drink it or not drink it. You have your choice. The minute a Jew says verbally, I will drink orange juice or I will not drink orange juice, he has suddenly created a new additional mitzvah in the Torah. He has shown that orange juice and anything else, everything and anything in this world is connected to the Torah. It's part of the Torah. As the Pasuk says, Bechol derochecha do'ehu. In all of your paths, wherever you go, whatever you do, know Hashem. And we know that Hashem is synonymous with the Torah. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. So this mitzvah of Neder shows us that there's nothing in existence that's excluded from the Torah. Everything, every single thing can be positive, negative, dependent on the Dibur, this item of Dibur. You mean to say that I can actually add a mitzvah to the Torah just because I said it? The answer is most definitely yes. And this once again raises our consciousness to the incredible significance of what our rabbi, Rabbeinu Zal, put so much emphasis. He said to his students in Yiddish, Mach mit der Lippen, use your mouth. Rabbeinu Zal referred to the mouth of a Jew like a millstone in the olden days. A millstone is supposed to be moving constantly, grinding up the wheat, grinding up the grain. A Jewish mouth is supposed to be working constantly for Kedusha, for good things, for positive things. So here we see the incredible significance of the mouth of a person, that the mouth can create new Torah. Mamash add new requirements that were non-existent, number one. At the same time, going back to what we said earlier, no person would say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu and I are just the same. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Torah and I give Torah. The answer is that even when it comes to Neder, the Torah shows us that not everybody is on the same level. Because when a Jew does make a vow, when a Jew does make a statement, when a girl or a married woman makes a vow, the girl who lives in her father's home, the father, even after she said it, what do you mean? The words came out of my mouth. You can't pull the words back, right? Yes, you can. A father for his daughter, for his unmarried daughter in certain instances, and a husband for his wife in certain instances, has the ability to fix, to go in and correct. Even once you said it, no problem. There's Haforas Nedorim. On the day that the husband hears the neder, if he understands that for certain reasons that neder is not a good idea, he can invalidate it. He can erase it. And then we have the highest degree, the Chacham, the Yochid Mumcha, the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik has the ability to analyze the vow and to try to find a Pesach, to try to be able to see, had you known this and this, would you have made that vow? The person says, of course not. But I didn't know and I made the vow, so it's finished. The Tzaddik says, no, it's not finished. There is a concept of tshuva, there is a concept of repentance, which a person on their own not necessarily can complete. The tshuva is dependent on the tzaddikim of the generation. Just like we had several weeks ago, we read the parsha of Pesach Sheni, where there were Jews who were impure when the opportunity was available to bring the Korban Pesach. Once a year we have Korban Pesach, there were Jews who were disqualified. They missed out on it. And we know there's a famous expression in the Gemara, Ovar Zmanoi, Botel Karbonoi, that sacrifices are time dependent. You can't, Rabbeinu Zal said, you have the most beautiful esreg that cost $600, not a single spot on it. You use it on Hanukkah, you make the bracha on the tilas lulav on Hanukkah, you get no positive credit, you get a sin of a bracha of atola. We have this concept of ovar zmanai, once the time passed, botel karbonai, the sacrifice is disqualified. It's no longer available, period. Except when the Jews who were impure, who couldn't bring the Korban Pesach at the proper time, when they went to the Tzaddik, when they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, what do you mean can't? You can't tell us can't. There's no such thing in Judaism. You taught us that there's tshuva, and you taught us about tzaddikim and about Hashem. You can't sell us such a thing. You can't say can't. And Moshe Rabbeinu was stuck. He didn't know. He knew that he was the one who had taught them this, but he didn't know how far this goes. I know that there's tshuva for all kinds of things. There's the ability, but again, once Sukkos is over, you're going to tell me that it's possible to do the Esrog on Chanukah? And Moshe Rabbeinu himself was bewildered. He went to Hashem, and Hashem said, they're right. They are right. If a Jew expresses real regret, real sincere regret, I made a mistake, I wasn't worthy, he assumes responsibility, I know it's my fault to a degree, I know that I'm the one at fault, but still I'm coming to the tzaddik, I'm coming to Moshe Rabbeinu, and I'm asking for him to help me to fix, to improve my relationship with Hashem. There's Pesach Sheni, number one, and there's HaToras Nedorim. A tzaddik has the ability, whether he has the Nedor on the day it was made, or a week later, or 10 years later. And not only that, a person would say, okay, but you can't put the words in the person's mouth. You're not going to tell me that the tzaddik is allowed to try to convince the person, try to teach the person how to say he made a mistake. Yes, he is. Even in a situation where the person himself has no way of finding an opening, he doesn't. What do you mean? Did you mean it? Yes, when I said I'm never going to drink orange juice again in my life, I meant it 100%. But the tzaddik has the ability, the Gemara shows and the Shulchan Aruch shows how the Yochid Mumcha, a rabbi who's on a high enough level, can go in there and identify a loophole, be able to find a way to get the person to say, honestly, well, now that you're putting it that way, had I known this, had I known that vows are a terrible thing to do, and that, had I known, of course I wouldn't have done it. Then the rabbi says, innocent. Mutterloch, mutterloch, mutterloch. I release you, I release you, I release you completely. The Gemara says that nowadays, we don't know if anybody's on the level of a Moshe Rabbeinu or Yochid Mumcha who can do this individually, but when you put three Jews together, even if they're not rabbis, even if they're not on a level of Moshe Rabbeinu, three Jews together represent a keli, a complete vessel. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov. Anytime that three Jews get together with sincerity, with unity, with oneness, and they're doing it to try to help another Jew, and again, they're doing it based on the guidance of the Torah, based on the guidance of a Talmud Chacham, they have the ability to release the person from a neder also, to take him out of it completely. This is the incredible power of the mouth of a Jew. And this is why the Torah tells us about Bilam in previous parshias, that Bilam, the non-Jews, studied the Jewish people. They did a study. They did research to see where does their power lie. What's the secret to their success? And the non-Jews discovered that Ein Koicham Ela Bepeh, their leader, the leader of Klal Yisrael, his connection to Hashem is with his mouth. It's to the degree that he watches what he says. He's very careful not to speak Lashon Hara, not to tell lies. The Gemara says that there are four categories of people who do not get to see or have contact with the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem. The four are a person who's involved in chanufa, flattery, which is a type of falseness. They try to make another person feel good, you know, to play up to him, you know, for improper reasons, because they want to get something from that person. So there's chanufa, flattery. There is sheker, people who speak lies, falsehood. There's mesapre loshon hara, people who speak loshon hara, which means telling over something that's true, 100% true about another person, but it puts him in a negative light. It harms that person. And then the fourth category is leitzonos, people who make fun, make joke. A joke. What's so bad about a joke? What's so bad about making fun about a particular sefer or a sitter or a person, a Jew, a rabbi, or a particular shul? You know how they? You know what they do over there? Ha ha ha! Leitzonos. These four categories, the Gemara says, Eino mekablem pnei Hashchina. They have no contact, chas v'shalom, with Hashem. And it's brought that these four categories, the first one, chanufa, begins with a ches, sheker begins with a shin, mesapre loshen hara, ones who tell loshen hara, is a mem, and leitzonos is a lamed, spell the word chashmal. Chashmal in modern day Hebrew means electricity, light. But in the Navi and in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, Chashmal refers to the highest level light of Hashem, the light of Hashem's face, that by a person defiling his mouth, using his mouth incorrectly in these four different ways, he detaches himself completely from this light called Chashmal. And to the degree that a person uses their mouth properly, where the mouth is an expression of the brain of the person. The problem is that when people speak sometimes, the mouth is disconnected from the brain. Whereas in actuality, the pasuk says, Mipiv das usvuna. The mouth is supposed to be an expression of what's going on inside the brain of a person, which is the holiness of a person. If a person is zocher to use his mouth that way, in words of Torah, in words of tefillah, every single word is a wire that connects the person to Hashem, that brings the person closer to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal tells us in a chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 43 in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about a person listening to the words of a rasha, a person standing in a place with another individual, and this other individual doesn't believe in Hashem, or doesn't believe in tzaddikim, or doesn't respect religion, or any part of religion. Rabbeinu Zal tells us that when a person listens to those words, just hearing those words, that can activate inside the person who is listening negative thoughts, illicit thoughts, thoughts of znus, thoughts of adultery, thoughts of all kinds of terrible things. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to explain exactly how this works. This is based in a pasuk in this week's Parsha in Matos, where Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish leaders about attacking Midian, he says, Hein, Heino, Hoyu, Levnei Yisrael. These people, the Midianites, sent their women out to seduce the Jewish people. Bidvar Bilam. They were in the words of Bilam Harosha. When Bilam spoke, Bilam, who was a person who went against Hashem, the Dvar Bilam is what generated, what created this terrible, terrible sin. Because as we mentioned earlier, we know that the Dibur is connected to the brain, the tongue, Mipiv Das Usavuna. And when we talk about the relationship between husband and wife, when the Torah speaks about that connection, it says, V'ho'odom yoda eschavo ishtoi, that the union between husband and wife is referred to as das. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the Jews going ahead and killing, putting to death the women that seduced the Jewish men, the wording that he used was, kol isho yoida'as ish. Any woman who knows a man, meaning any woman who is of age to have relations with a man, was supposed to be put to death at that time. But the wording is kol isho yoida'as ish, showing that this originates, the concept of zivug originates in the das, in the das, in the brain. Just like when a person has children, we know that the seed originates in the brain of the husband and it travels down the body. So Bilam, who was a Rasha, about whom the Torah tells us, V'yoidea das elyoin, that Bilam reached so high that he was connected to das in a destructive way, in a harmful way. He used his connection to the Das to go against Hashem and to try to get the Jews to go against Hashem. We know that the highest level of Das in Judaism was Moshe Rabbeinu. Ato horeisol adas keshem alokim. The Gemara says, in order for there to be free choice, Hashem had to give the non-Jews one who could parallel Moshe Rabbeinu in Das, which was Bilam Harosha. This Bilam, when he spoke his words, by hearing words coming from a Rosha of that caliber, this actually generates thoughts of niyuf, thoughts of adultery, sinful thoughts. And this is why the Torah tells us later, in the later Parsha, that when the Jews went out to do battle, and when the officers returned at that time, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the officers who led them out in battle at the time, and he said to them, "Why did you leave the women alive? Hein heino hoyu bedvar bilam. They were included in the dvar bilam." So the Torah says, "Vayikruvu el Moshe," that the leaders, the officers, approached Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, "Vanakrev es korban Hashem. We have brought special sacrifices lechaper al nafshoseinu lefnei Hashem, in order to atone for our sin before Hashem." So the Gemara says in Shabbos, page 64. That these officers said, these leaders said, "Afal pi shemidei aveiro yotzanu," even though we didn't actually commit any physical sins with those women, "midei hirhur lo yotzanu," sinful thoughts we were not excluded from. That because of this association with this dvar bilam, when a person listens to words coming from a Rosha, sometimes a person feels confident. They feel sure of themselves, that they've learned so much Torah, they've heard so much Musar, they figure just hearing that person out can't harm me. And they don't realize that this is a terrible, terrible mistake. We know Rabbeinu Zal in Sipurei Maaseiyos, in the special 13 stories that Rabbeinu Zal told, the 9th story there speaks about the Chacham and the Tam, the sophisticate and the simpleton. And the Tam there represents a tzaddik of incredible high caliber. We know that Yaakov Avinu, who is called the Bechir Sheba'avos, the choicest one, Avram Avinu, had something bad associated with him. He had a Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu had an Esav associated with him. Yaakov Avinu is total good. He's called Tam. Tam means whole, complete, no defects, 100%. Yaakov Avinu is called Ish Tam. In the story there, we find that the Tam starts off on a relatively low level. He starts off as a shoemaker, making shoes, making his own shoes, and it takes him a long time to learn how to make those shoes. And finally, when he does learn, his shoes are inferior to any other shoes on the market. And yet he's happy, he loves Hashem, he serves Hashem, and he ends up rising, climbing the ladder at the right time. He's appointed a governor, and then he's appointed minister, and then he's appointed minister on top of all the ministers in the kingdom. He reaches literally the peak of his success, of his closeness to the king. And at that point, he has a meeting at one time with the Chacham, with the sophisticate. He invites him to have dinner with him. But what's so big? Kosher food? Glatt kosher? The Tam is the one who prepared the menu. Everything is glatt kosher. The Tam seemed to be in complete control. But because he sat with the Chacham, he socialized with him, the Chacham goes ahead and makes his whole speech. He explains how he's come to the conclusion that there's no such thing as a king. We find immediately after that Tam suddenly is lost when a certain incident happens where the devil sends for him, the Tivel sends for him. He gets panicky, he gets into a total panic, and he goes running to his wife and he says to her, "What do I do? What do I do? The devil sent for me." And his wife is calm. She says, "What do you mean, what do? You go to the Baal Shem, you go to the Tzaddik. He can fix anything, there's no problem at all." And sure enough, the Tam goes to the Baal Shem, and the Baal Shem gives him amulets. He tells him exactly what he needs, that he shouldn't be frightened at all anymore by the Sitrachra. But the commentaries explain that this Tam, who was so pure, the fact that he listened to the words of the Chacham, he heard his speech, that punched a hole inside of him. Imagine how much more so people on our level. I remember hearing from my Rebbe Zichron Avrocha, Rabbi Rosenfeld, those people who listen to his shiurim, there are tapes, and online there are hundreds of shiurim that he gave. People that hear his shiurim say that they're so packed with emuna, with yirah shamayim, that a person listening to a 45-minute shiur of his, it's like listening to 100 hours or 1,000 hours of other shiurim sometimes, in how much it strengthens a person's faith in Hashem, faith in tzaddikim, faith in the Torah. He told us that in his earlier years, when he was teaching students, he had a student who was bright, really bright, and he was absorbing every word of Torah quickly and solidly and listening careful to the rabbi, everything. One day, this student came back after a weekend, after a Shabbos, and Rav Rosenfeld said he looked at his face and he saw he wasn't the same person anymore. And the rabbi gave a shiur and everything, and he looked at the student and he saw it's not going in, it's not penetrating. What happened? And sure enough, he saw that this student's relationship started changing, he started becoming more distant, and at one point, the rabbi spoke to him, or he sent one of the other students to ask him, what brought the change? And he said, nothing really, nothing. He said, well, on Shabbos, I took a walk on the boardwalk. They lived in Brooklyn at the time, Brighton Beach, and he took Coney Island, he took a walk on the boardwalk, and this is going back to the 40s and 50s, when there was communists in the United States. And there was a guy that was standing on a chair on the boardwalk making a speech on a Saturday afternoon. And he was speaking, and there were 20, 30 people standing around him listening, like always. You know, you get some guy to stand up and make a speech anywhere, of course there's going to be some guy. And this young boy, this teenager, walked over and was curious, like, what got so, you know? We're not talking about putting on a light on Shabbos, we're not, just to hear what he had to say. And he listened to the speech that this person made, and that somehow punched a hole inside of him, that when it came to hearing words of Torah afterwards, it wasn't the same anymore. Not the same person. This is where the Torah is showing us here, the incredible chashivas, the power of the mouth, for positive or for negative. The Gemara says that when a person's feeling weak in his Yiddishkeit, he's feeling weak in his learning Torah or anything, what should he do? He makes a vow. He knows he wants to learn for two, three hours in front of him. And he knows he has an opportunity now to learn undisturbed. But he knows his own nature that a lot of times after an hour or two he gets fidgety, he gets up, just getting up for a minute to get some air, and then gets a telephone call, and somehow the whole track is lost. So the Gemara says, what does he do? He makes a vow. He says, I'm going to learn now for the next 3 hours, I'm going to learn, period. And the Gemara says that's called Nidre Zeros. That's called a vow that strengthens the person. It gives him some extra fire that he needs to defeat the Yetzirah. So Rav Nosson Zal asks in the Likutei Halachos, one minute, I don't get it. If every person has free choice, if I really want to learn, then I'm going to learn. And if I really don't want to learn, saying I'm going to learn is going to make a difference? And Rav Nosson says, most definitely yes. We see the Torah tells us that there's an unbelievable power in the mouth, that when a person says something with the right intentions, with pure intentions, his words double or triple his spiritual power to be able to overcome the test, to be able to defeat the Yetzirah. Is it a guarantee? No. And that's why the Torah warns that after you made the vow, you better be very careful. You better make sure to fulfill your vow. Because, again, it's not foolproof. It does give you extra strength. It does give you additional firepower to overcome the Yetzirah, but it's not perfect. And this is why we find Rabbeinu Zal, when he spoke to Rav Nosson Zal, and he told Rav Nosson Zal that during his youth, Rabbi Nachman said, he was accustomed to making vows constantly, to push himself to the outer limits of what he was capable of doing. So Rav Nosson Zal said to him, but doesn't it say in the Shulchan Aruch that people should avoid vows, that it's good to stay away from vows. Rabbeinu Zal smiled and he said, that's for shlamazels like you. That's for people. He was talking to Rav Nosson Zal, the author of the Likutei Halachos, the Likutei Tefilos. He was talking to one of the tzaddikim of the generation. And yet again, two completely different levels. One is the moon. The moon is an incredible big light. But compared to the sun, the moon is like a toy flashlight in comparison. Rabbeinu Zal was showing that there are tzaddikim who are on a level that they can make a neder, and they know that the neder will give them that extra firepower, and they will not stumble. That once they say they're going to do it, they're really going to do it. Whereas for people on a lower level, better to avoid the neder, not to make nedarim, but to say, Hashem, please help me sit for the 3 hours, please let me fit, that nobody will deny a person's allowed to do. That applies to everybody across the board. To use your mouth to plead with Hashem, or to speak to yourself even. Rabbeinu Zal taught his students sometimes to speak to their own organs, to speak to your zitzflesh, and say, what are you, crazy? You're going to get up now to get ice, answer a phone. What's that going to do for you? If you sit for another 10, 15 minutes, if you learn for another 10, 15 minutes, you're going to earn another $10 million in your bank account in Gan Eden. Sit down. Sit down on the chair. Don't get up. Sit for another 10 minutes, etc. This is the Koyach HaDibur. And this is what the Torah is really all about. The Torah is the Das of Hashem, that Hashem conveyed to us through His speech. And our kesher to Hashem, somebody once said a joke that has some seriousness to it, that when we study Torah, the Torah is Hashem speaking to us, and tefillah is us speaking to Hashem. If a person wants that two-way communication, they want the real bond with Hashem, it's by combining both. By listening to what Hashem has to say, studying page after page after page of the Torah, and then in tefillah, begging Hashem to give us the strength that we need to fulfill the Torah, to bring us close to the true tzaddikim, who are the authorities on Torah, who have the ability even to fix our worst mistakes. A neder, milk that's spilled already and the glass is broken, all of it, the true tzaddikim have the ability to repair even neder. And we should be zeich in that zechus, that Hashem and the tzaddikim should help us repair everything we need to repair, to be zeichet to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdosh with the coming of Moshiach, b'mehirah b'meinu, amen v'amen.